From the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto, Canada.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz. I think Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hello, Emily. Welcome to the Roz and Mocha Show. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
I was thinking, what is your earliest memory that you can remember, and what age were you in that memory?
Oh my goodness.
Do you have an answer for this? That's a great question.
I do.
Okay, go for it.
So when I was 3 years old, I was sitting at my kitchen table, and my mom had made me a cup of noodle soup, and she specifically told me to just wait, eat it, it's hot. Mm-hmm. And I knew my dad was on the porch, and I just really wanted to go and see him, so I thought it would be smart to pick up the cup of noodle soup and walk it over to the porch.
Yeah.
And I ended up burning my hand to the third degree.
Oh, no!
Wow.
And I can vividly just, like, remember every part of it, going to the doctor, my hand was in a bowl, wanting to play with my sister in the doctor's office and getting upset because I couldn't because my hand was burnt.
Oh, damn. Yeah, no, that's traumatic. I think the earliest memory that I have, honestly, is maybe I was 3 as well, and we were moving from an apartment to a townhouse, and it was moving day. And I specifically remember, because my cousin was looking after me. My cousin and his family also lived in the same apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
And he was looking after me. And I kept saying that I wanted to go see my parents. But it was moving day and my parents were busy. And he said to me, no one is at home. They're out at the new house. And I vividly remember standing in front of the apartment door, getting on my hands and knees and looking underneath the door, right? There's a little bit of space. And I saw footsteps. I could see the shadow of feet walking back and forth.
Yeah.
And I assumed it was my parents. And I kept saying to him, no, they're home. Open the door. They're home. Open the door. And then I don't remember anything else from that day.
No. I don't know how old I was, but it was before grade 1. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know whatever that was.
Maybe 5?
Maybe 4, because we were still living in Montreal at the time. And I don't remember the lead up to this because my mom told me the lead up to it, but I remember the aftermath very clearly, which was my mom was on the phone and she was distracted. And I guess I was going through her purse. And maybe at the time, sorry, mom, but I think at the time my mom might have been dealing with some constipation.
Oh, no.
Right?
Yeah.
So I was going through my mom's purse.
You should probably say sorry, mom, again.
Okay, sorry, mom. Okay. A lot of cheese fondues in the 70s. Okay.
Yeah.
Moms were going through it in the 70s with the constipation.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess at some point I'm going through my mom's purse and she's on the phone and she's distracted. And I find a bar of X-Lax, which was a chocolate bar. And adults were supposed to just take one square and that was supposed to help them deal with the constipation of all that Montreal cheese. And then she was on the phone and I guess I pulled out the whole bar and I unwrapped it and it was just chocolate in my hand.
Uh-huh.
And I guess I had said to her, can I have this? And she said, yes.
Uh-huh.
So I apparently ate the whole bar of X-Lax
as a child,
uh-huh. Right? And so I don't remember that, but I vividly remember the setup, which was that night in the evening, I vividly remember being on the toilet for so long.
Oh, no.
That my mom brought my dinner and put it on my lap.
Oh, no. That's where it started.
I think so.
Yo, we just found the origin story to your time on the toilet.
Yes.
Right?
I think so, maybe.
Eating on the toilet. That's the origin story.
I think so.
Oh, my God.
So that I believe is my earliest memory.
Wow.
Everything makes sense now, bro.
Emily, that was a great question. Thank you so much for calling in.
Sorry, Mom.
Thank you.
Before we let you go, between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
Roz.
Thank you.
Love you, girl. Take care.
Bye.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Damn it, Maury's grandmother. Damn it, Granny.
Aww.
Celebrated her 93rd birthday over the weekend.
93?
Yeah. The last time we heard from Damn It Granny on the Roz and Mocha Show was when she gave her review of the latest Magic Mike movie.
I loved it, you know, when they took off their T-shirts. They were wearing those T-shirts, and they were nice-looking, you know, nice-looking men. But once they took off their T-shirts, oh, boy, all the muscles and everything. That was really something.
Okay, it feels like we're taking advantage at that point. You know what I mean?
Settle down, Granny.
Come on now.
So over the weekend, big celebration for Granny.
Yeah.
Right? You guys, where were you, Damon Moore? You were at a banquet hall?
It's at the actor's retirement home.
Okay.
Called PAL, where actors retire.
Okay. And
that's awesome.
And you were there, obviously, a bunch of family members were there to celebrate Granny. And they held what they called, Roz, the Granny Awards. Yeah. Not the Grammy Awards, the Granny Awards.
I gotcha.
Okay. And of course, Damon Moore being Damon Moore, you know, the big famous superstar of the family.
Yep.
They asked Damn It Maury to be the one to be the voice of the award show.
You hosted?
Yeah.
The Grammys? No,
I didn't host. No. I was the voice.
He was the voice. Your nominees are.
Oh, my God.
So you're going to hear some names here where I believe they are what? Aunts, uncles, cousins.
Family members, yeah.
Other family members who were nominated for various things.
Yeah.
But, of course, the big celebration is about Damn It Granny.
Live from the star-filled green room at the Performing Arts Lodge, welcome to the 93rd Annual Granny Awards. And now, here are the nominees for Best Sports Commentary.
What kind of a call is that? Are you kidding me?
Jack Kossoff, for shouting at the screen during football.
He was clearly offside. Come on.
Get him. Jerry Kossoff, for shouting at the screen during football. Helen Lyon for UFC commentary.
Now they're punching each other and kicking each other.
On the Roz and Mocha Show on KISS 92.5.
I have the envelope here. Helen Lyon.
So of course, Granny wins the award,
of course,
right?
Yes. We're
celebrating Granny here.
Oh my gosh, another award. Oh, look.
I
want
to wish you a happy birthday. You are awesome.
That's the president of the mixed martial arts.
So what you heard in the background.
Yeah.
And here's, how old is that shout out, Damon Moore?
Well, we were supposed to do it 3 years ago, but because the pandemic happened, so 3 years old.
Okay, right. So this is who Damon Moore was able to get a shout out for Damn It Granny.
This is Helen Lyon's 93rd nomination and first win.
Granny Helen, it's me, Dana White from the UFC. I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday. You are awesome. Have an amazing day, babe.
Accepting the award is Sasheen Littlefeather. No, wait. It's Helen Lyon.
So, of course, all the awards went to Damn It Granny.
That's so sweet, man.
And then, of course, to end it all off, you know, everybody in the room in their retirement home as well got to sing happy birthday to Granny.
Oh, great.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Granny. Happy birthday to you.
Man, that's so sweet.
Right?
Yeah. Like if somebody did, you only hope that somebody would do that for you when you turn 93, that kind of production and make you feel great and all that stuff, huh? So does she obviously won every award, right?
Oh, she had a whole box of awards.
That's amazing.
Oh my God, Granny, how much fun was this?
Oh, wonderful. I was so surprised.
How cool does it feel to be 93? Did you know that also celebrating a 93rd birthday is frozen food?
Well, I don't want to share it with frozen food. How about somebody better than that?
Betty Boop.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah.
Betty Boop is better.
Being 93, how does it feel? Are you like, just do you feel great?
I sometimes I feel like 93.
Yeah?
Especially in the morning when I have to get up and get out.
Did you love the presentation?
Oh,
did
I love my Grammy Awards.
Did you hear my voice?
Well, of course, I did hear your voice. That was really very nice and over the top. You were very good, Maury.
If you could give any advice to anybody else turning 93, what advice would you give them?
Well, you know, I don't know what the secret is. So it's an old joke, but they used to say, just keep breathing. I don't have any advice like eat your carrots or anything like that. Mind you, I don't drink any alcohol, so that might be a help.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Happy birthday to me.
There you go. Aww. Happy birthday, Greta.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I've had this song stuck in my head since the very first time somebody asked if it was Shem. Do we know what it is already?
Yeah.
Whopper, 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 junior, double, triple, whopper, flame grill taste with perfect toppers, I rule this day.
Shem, the Burger King song, right? The Whopper, Whopper, Whopper song. How many people, because this sounds exactly like you, how many people have thought this was you?
For the last month, I think I've had messages every single day from people. So you're talking like at least 50 to 100 people.
Because it really does sound like
you. Play it again. Because you know what? I actually saw the commercial while watching, I think it was Food Network on Sunday.
Whopper, 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 junior, double, triple, whopper.
How is that not Shem?
I know. If not, there's a copycat out there.
Yeah. Right? That how is that not Shem?
Sounds just
Shem,
like you, bro.
Sometimes with our own voices, when somebody says, oh my God, you sound just like so-and-so, you're like, God, that doesn't sound like me in my own head. When you hear the Whopper commercial, do you hear you?
1,000%. And it really trips me out, especially that first part, the Whopper part. Oh, yeah. That really trips me out.
So you have the lyrics in front of you right now, Shem.
Okay.
So I'm going to play a little bit of the Whopper song.
No. Okay.
And this isn't helping your cause at all. at all. So I'm going to play a little bit, and then I just want you to sing a little bit on your own, okay?
Sure.
So here we go.
Whopper, 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 junior, double, triple, Whopper.
Okay, Shem.
Okay. Whopper, 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 junior, double, triple, Whopper, flame grill taste with perfect toppers, I rule this day.
Yo, that's
flame grill
Shem.
Taste with perfect toppers, I rule this day.
Yo, okay. That's samesies.
Samesies. And the problem is, right, when people sing these jingles, it's like, well, who actually does it? Like, how do you even know to say, no, it's not me? Because it's not like the guy who sings the Whopper song is like, yo, I'm the guy that sings the Whopper song.
Right.
So people still think Shem is lying.
Yeah.
Until today.
Shem.
Yeah?
Guess what?
No, get out of here.
In just a few minutes, we are going to be speaking with and introduce you to the guy that sings the Burger King Whopper song.
And here is the best part. The guy who sings the Burger King Whopper song, his name is Crown.
What?
Shem and everybody else, hold tight.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Yo, Shem is still shook.
Yo, okay. Got to go back to this because if you've heard this before.
Whopper, 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 junior, double, triple, Whopper.
So that sounds exactly like Shem. And everybody thinks that the Whopper guy is Shem and for some weird reason can't admit that it is him or he's lying about it or why, who knows. But people are 100% convinced that this is Shem.
Whopper, 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 junior, double, triple, Whopper.
And Shem, you have the words right there. If you could just remind us how close this is.
Yep. Whopper, 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 junior, double, triple, Whopper. Flame grill taste with perfect.
Whopper, Whopper,
oh
Whopper,
God.
Whopper, junior, yeah. Double,
same.
Triple.
Exact same.
Anyway, we found the guy.
Oh, my God.
So we can finally put this to rest. I don't think he's ever done an interview about this before. I don't think he's ever even acknowledged that it's him before. But Shem, we would like to introduce you to Will, a.k.a. Crown of the West Coast hip-hop brand, Crown and the M.O.B. Yo, Crown, are you there?
How are you guys?
Look at Shem's dying. Shem's dying right now.
What
okay.
up?
Okay. So Crown, you've heard the clip of Shem singing the Whopper song, right? And we need you, because when Shem hears that song, he hears himself. When you hear Shem sing that song, do you understand why everyone thinks that you are Shem?
I do understand.
Okay.
Oh, man.
I really do understand. And I'm also, I'm actually starting to think that it might be Shem.
Oh, no! Even the way you talk kind of sounds like Shem. Are you sure you're not like distant relatives or something?
It has to be.
He's a brother like me.
Yes, he is.
It's twinning. I mean, come on.
Okay, so how did you become the Whopper guy?
A funny thing. I just happened to be around the studio, and we were just having fun, and they happened to be working on the Burger King spot already. And when I walked in, they said, hey, you know what? Give it a try. You know, why not? And I jumped on it, and as soon as I just started doing certain things inside of the actual theme of the what they wanted, it just like, oh crap, wait a minute, you know, and it just started rolling from there.
And people have been trying to find out who this is for a long time because people love that song. Why have you not come out before this and said, yo, this is me?
Well, you know, I just kind of wanted to, you know, it's still ongoing, so it's just a lot of things going on, different projects I've been working on with MOB, and just, you know, just kind of like riding the wave, because it's, I think slowly but surely it's starting to happen.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
So know,
especially
Burger King,
your daughter's like, everybody at her school is singing it. And I'm like, oh man.
Oh no. So has Burger King reached out to you about maybe doing a part two or doing more jingles for them?
So currently I have been doing a lot of their jingles. So
oh, okay.
A lot of the voices you hear is me.
Okay.
In Shannon.
So and
people even more.
Hold on, just to remind, I got to play a little bit again here, really quickly.
Whopper, 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 Junior, Double, Triple, Whopper, Flame Grill, taste with perfect toppers. I rule this day.
Okay, no, and this song is so catchy, but it's so basic.
Got the job done.
Man. Look, Shem is so stunned right now. Do you have any questions, Shem?
Can we be like friends? Because like, I don't even
Absolutely.
Know. Can we do a song together? Like, this is amazing. Your voice sounds exactly like mine. And I know that sounds incredibly narcissistic to say, because you're much more talented than I am. But holy cow, especially that Whopper part. Are you sure you haven't heard from me before?
Oh, no, dude. But no, dude, you're dope, too. Trust me. I heard the stuff I heard. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
I don't know. Maybe we got to get like the Whopper remix or something with Crown, you know, featuring Shem, right?
Now, I have a track here called Love My People. Is that you?
Yeah, that is me.
Now, is this you singing?
So not singing. That's me rapping, and Amy Keys is actually on the vocal.
Okay, okay. So you want to know his range, Shem?
Oh,
so here,
man.
I'll play another little bit, okay?
Yeah.
Because I was expecting the Whopper guy, and what you're about to get is not the Whopper guy. Ready?
Okay. Here we go.
Amazing, 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 so damn amazing. We live for days of no crime. True. We need more scholars, deep minds, less drug dealing, more leaders shining, plus more father figures, less time in. Ooh. Let music bring back the soul. Yeah, love all people, inspire both. Yeah.
Come on.
Oh,
now.
Come
wow.
on.
Come
on. Positivity right there. I love it. Crown, that's amazing. Also,
so
in that
Appreciate
song, you and Shem kind of sound the same as well. If people want to hit you up, like on Instagram or follow you on any social media platform, where do they go?
They can go to Crown and the MOB. You can find us on all social platforms, Crown and the MOB.
Perfect. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you.
Later, man.
Absolutely.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Podcast.
We're getting toasty nice and early. Woo! Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. How's everyone doing?
I got plans.
Do you? Oh, Roz, I can't hear you, buddy. What are your plans today, Shem?
I'm going to drink.
Are you really?
Really? It's been a week, man. I'm going to drink this weekend.
And you're a guy that you don't really indulge.
I am drinking. I'm going to a pub.
Yeah.
Here in the city tonight. And then I'm going to a house party, which I'm going to one of those on Saturday.
You're going to two parties, Shem?
Man.
This is big news.
You wait till Monday.
Are they kissing parties?
Well, I mean, they may not start out that way.
You're not one of these St. Patrick's Day partygoers that will ditch kind of earlier in the day to make it to the bar to find a spot to post up because you know the bars are going to be like crazy busy as of 11 a.m.
No, I'm still in my mid-30s there, man. I can't be doing that. I can't be partying like I was in my 20s
anymore.
But
do you have a plan, though? Like, this is St. Patrick's Day. You have to have a plan going into this.
No, just going to drink. I'm going to go home. I got a haircut yesterday.
Yeah.
I got an outfit and everything.
You got a St. Patrick's Day haircut?
Listen, I'm messing around.
All right.
What outfit did you get?
Okay. I bought a green blazer because I thought it would be kind of cool, you know, for St. Patty's Day to sort of, you know, stand out and whatnot. So yeah. I got a green blazer, I got a white tee, and I'm going to wear black jeans, and I got all white shoes.
You thought wearing a green blazer would make you stand out on St. Patrick's Day?
Well, you know, there's other things that might make me stand out on St. Patrick's Day.
So are you rolling with, like, a crew? Or?
Yeah, three of my university buddies. We're all going to hang out, so okay. It's going to be good.
Did everyone get matching outfits as well?
No, we're not weird.
Okay. And then the party tonight, is it like St. Patrick's Day specific?
Yeah, it's obviously. we're just going to sort of, what's that, club crawl? Is that what they call it? Where you just bounce
bar
around?
Hop.
Yeah.
Bar hop.
We're going to bar hop. Yeah. Bar hop. Okay. We're going to do that. Yeah, we're going to do that.
Yeah, you could tell you don't go out, huh?
I know.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
You know when you hear stories about famous people who act like divas? And sometimes they're a little bit exaggerated. A lot of times they're not.
Most times, I would say, from personal experience. But okay, go on.
you know, people like Mariah, mm-hmm. Beyonce, mm-hmm. Madonna. Mm-hmm. You hear those stories of how they need certain things a certain way whenever they're in any given place in the world.
Yes.
Right? There's this rapper named DJ Quick who's doing an interview, who's doing a podcast talking about the time when he was recording a song in the 90s at a studio that then Michael Jackson showed up to record a song in a studio that was next to where he was at.
Okay.
This is early 90s, okay? So this guy, DJ Quick, he's going to tell you, I was there, I was recording this song called Tonight, which sounds like this. Okay, just so you can get a vibe of who this guy
is. Old school, I like this.
Right?
Yeah.
West Coast guy, gangster, I think he was part of the Bloods. Or maybe it was the Crips.
He sounds so kind, though. You know?
But you know what? In the song, for like the first minute and a half, he says like no swear words whatsoever.
He sounds so kind.
Yeah. Okay. So in the early 90s, DJ Quick is recording this song at a studio that then Michael Jackson walks into. Okay?
Yeah. Michael Jackson, bro. I booked a studio. We booked a studio for my first single, Tonight. We moved from our studio to his studio, and he wanted to get in there one time. So they was like, they came through, warned everybody that, you know, Michael's going to come through. And he didn't want nobody to see him coming through or looking right. So we all out there in the, you know, by the pool table, kitchen area, everybody chilling. We taking a break from the studio. And these guys come in and they was like, hey, y'all, we about to bring somebody through here. You know, they didn't ask us to leave. They asked us to just turn around and face the wall while, you know, they bring the artist through, right? So it's like, are y'all serious? This is not a joke. They're like, man, if y'all, come on quick, man. If you could just, I know who you are, quick. I like your music. If you could just turn around and
like
face
your
the
music,
wall.
Just turn the around.
You know, it all be good. All right, man. So we turn around and this seemed weird. Like police, like, you know, being hemmed up on the wall. So the door opens, poof. Then you just hear some penny loafers just right, running through the little thing. We turn around, you can see him, like his little hair is. I'm gonna go in the door, close it. It's like, oh, y'all cool. Y'all can turn around. Y'all, everything's cool. It's like, damn, Mike didn't want nobody to look at him. That's the f- is this?
Yeah. I've been in that situation.
Madonna did that at the film festival.
I've been in that situation.
Hold on, with who, Ross?
Christina Aguilera.
Excuse me?
Yep.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Tell the story.
We weren't allowed to look. It's exact same thing. They were walking her through a hallway, and they made everybody turn around.
How long ago was this?
Years ago.
When she was, like, still a big-time global touring superstar?
Yeah. Yeah, at the venue. Yeah. Backstage at the venue. Like, three people came, and they moved everybody off to the side.
Yeah.
And then they were just motioning you to sort of turn away. And so everybody was like, we were all talking. We were like, well, I don't understand what's going on. Okay. And then we all sort of turned our backs, and then they ushered her through, and nobody was allowed to look at her.
Really?
Yep. Happens a lot. Who did it happen with you, Maury?
Sorry, I was saying Madonna at the film festival. There was a whole article about how she had all the staff turn and face the wall.
Yeah.
What?
It's a thing. Yes.
So the only other time I've experienced anything similar to that was years ago when Kiss, we did a summer concert and Usher was performing.
Mm. Usher.
And it was like the era of like You Remind Me and You Got It Bad. So he was like on top of the world, number one selling artist, number one Billboard songs, right? And everybody, the staff, we were all in the backstage area, and they asked for everyone to completely clear the area so Usher would not leave to hit the stage until that area was completely clear. And it wasn't like an indoor venue. This is like an outdoor venue. So if you had to leave that area, if you were backstage, you had to go like pretty far. Like everyone that had to clear out, you had to walk a pretty far way to get out of the quote unquote backstage area for Usher to walk by.
Right.
And then a bunch of us were like kind of walked around the corner and we're like peeking behind a window. And Usher walks out from where his dressing room is towards the stage. And it was like the funniest thing. But maybe he was feeling himself. He was like, I'm on top of the world. Like, let's do this. But he did like the hype George Jefferson walk from the...
Oh, interesting.
Like with his hand, like he was walking and his hands were like this.
Yeah. Interesting. Down, interesting.
Until he got to the stage. And then it was, ladies and gentlemen, here was Usher.
Oh, damn.
Huh. When I did a meet and greet thing with Janet Jackson, diva move from her was you were placed in a position where she was going to come and stand for the photograph and you were not allowed to move. Uh-huh. And they said you're not allowed to talk or say hello to Janet Jackson when she comes for the photo.
Can't say hello.
You cannot say hello.
What?
Damn.
Yeah.
There's some rules, huh?
So you just stand
no
there?
Hellos.
You had to stand there and there was like a gap where she was going to go.
Yeah.
They place her there, take the photograph. They move her back behind the curtain, and then you were asked to leave. Please do not say hello.
Who did you get the picture with where you weren't allowed to take it? They took it and sent it to you. Who was that, Mariah?
That was Mariah. And they photoshopped and her.
They photoshopped Mariah, but not Maury. So when they got the picture back, Mariah, like, perfect, beautiful lighting, beautiful skin, beautiful everything else, and Maury and Matthew look like they've been rode, right? Like
a couple of monsters. Oh, no. There you go. So I guess Michael Jackson isn't the only one. It happens to a lot of people. Michael Jackson made this artist and his whole crew stand against the wall when he walked into the room.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I'm already sweating.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I'm sweaty today. I don't know. I'm all frazzed. Like, I've got computer problems and stuff like this over here, and I don't know what the hell's going on.
Oh, is that why
you're
sweating?
Every single day, right? Like, everything is fine every day, and I do the same thing every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, things just don't work.
Oh, and it just throws you off completely.
And it throws me off completely, and then I spend half the show trying to figure out a stupid computer problem that I don't know how to fix.
Is there anything we can do to help?
Like
you sound like my grandmother who called me with computer problems last night.
What was her problem? Like
she called me to ask.
Maybe I have the same problem. What was her problem?
She wanted me to drive all the way to her place to plug in her printer.
And like a good grandson, because she did so much for you over the course of your life.
Yes.
You were like, no problem. You got in the car and you drove over and plugged in her printer.
Let's go with that. Or I told her, I asked her if she knew how to work YouTube and to watch a tutorial.
Oh my God.
Okay, hold on. Are we talking about Granny who just turned 93 or Nana?
Nana who turns 90 this
same.
August.
Damn.
Wow.
Not even for Nana.
Not even. So what?
Well,
did
no,
you...
but I told her I've never owned a printer. So I'm like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, but it's easier for you to figure it out than it is to ask
absolutely, but dude, I was in my pajamas and I was having my dinner and I was like, I'm not driving through rush hour traffic to see my Nana.
How far
to help your Nana, not to see your Nana. She didn't call you and say, Maury, I miss you.
Yeah.
She called Maury and said, I need your help.
And you sent her to YouTube. Why didn't your lazy ass go to YouTube and figure it out for her?
Because I was eating dinner.
Wow.
Damn. FaceTime her at least?
Oh, you think she knows how to use FaceTime? She can't plug in a printer.
Oh, damn,
wow, you're
man.
Really going in on her, huh?
Yeah, this poor 90-year-old.
What'd she do to you?
Damn, man.
What do you mean?
You
if, look, yeah. at Passover,
that
if
stupid,
she still doesn't
that
know.
That stupid baby can't even climb a ladder.
Well, of course, it's a baby.
You know
what's
what I mean?
The matter? Just because you got no teeth, you can't chew solids?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, stupid.
She's an old lady. What do you want from her?
Look, I'm going to see her in 2 weeks for Passover. If there's
2 weeks?
She needed those medical documents printed yesterday.
That was for
Canada
bowling.
Is going to be halfway up her ass in 2 weeks.
She was just printing bowling stats.
Oh. So what?
Yeah,
guess
she
what,
needs
Mari?
Them.
Yesterday, in that moment, that was the most important thing to her.
Yep.
Bowling stats.
Yep.
And she needed help.
Yeah,
and you didn't even.
She didn't cover the spread. Now she owes a guy, and it's all your fault.
Yeah. So guess what? When the bookie
right?
shows up
yep.
and says to Nana, where's my money? And she's like, I don't have it. Guess who ends up with two broken kneecaps?
Yep.
Nana. Because
yep.
that's how those things work out.
Yeah.
But the haddock was really good.
Does she have a walker?
Night.
Does she use a walker?
No, she
no.
walks normal.
She will today. Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Wow. Poor Nana. You know what? You give her my number. I would sit in rush hour traffic to go help Nana with that printer.
Would you?
Yes.
I wouldn't.
Oh.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Podcast.
Hey, I got to ask you a question.
What?
It's bothering me.
Uh-oh. What'd I do?
No, not you.
Oh. Damn.
I need to know if I'm...
Oh. Okay.
No, this... So... Once in a while on my way into work,
okay,
I go to the coffee shop.
Yeah.
Drive through.
Okay.
Today I get there.
Yeah.
And there's two cars ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The car that's at the thing to make the order, right?
The microphone or the window?
The microphone.
Okay.
White guy, older.
Okay.
And his door's open. He's got one leg out of the car, yelling. Yelling Chipotle, okay?
Yelling what?
The word Chipotle.
Okay.
2 seconds later,
yeah.
the gentleman who's working the drive-thru steps out of the restaurant.
Okay.
And comes out to where the white guy is.
Yeah.
The guy working is a brown guy.
Okay.
And he's new to that location. I know because I go to that location a lot.
Gotcha.
The white guy then says, I've said Chipotle 5 times.
Yeah.
Did you not hear me? And he's getting really aggressive.
Okay.
And the guy working said, I kind of heard you. And then the white guy says, what's the matter? Don't you speak English?
Right.
And then okay. the other guy said, no. He didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And the other guy, the white guy said, well, why did you come to this country for if you
oh,
don't understand
damn.
English? He said, I Full said on, to huh? you 5 times Chipotle.
Yeah.
This guy was heated.
It's amazing how a white guy, though, is going off on a brown guy for not understanding Chipotle.
Right?
And the whole, why did you come to this country
yeah.
when you don't understand Chipotle?
And then he said, and then he was like, I was born in England. I understand English. Why don't you? Right?
Yeah.
And at that point, I had my hand on the handle to open the car door.
Yes.
Because I'm a hothead.
Yes.
Right? But then he was like, the white guy goes, well, why didn't you say you don't have Chipotle in the first time? Right?
Yeah.
And I just felt bad for this guy, for this worker, because he's new there. And I understand,
sure.
like, working that overnight shift, sometimes
it's a graveyard. Like,
all
it's,
sorts of.
Ugh,
characters.
I couldn't imagine.
Right?
I couldn't imagine.
And I had my hand on the handle to open the door.
What were you going to do?
Yeah.
But that's the thing, though. Like, it could have gone in any given direction. Right?
Yeah.
Because I genuinely felt bad for the guy. And then when I went up to get my coffee, the guy working there apologized to me. I was like, hey, man, you don't have anything to apologize for.
Right.
Like, don't worry about it. That wasn't on you.
Yeah.
Did you also ask for Chipotle?
I was going to say, I would open my door and I would just say, he said Chipotle!
Could you imagine? By the way, can I get a Chipotle
with
that?
By the way, so where do we land on the Chipotle? Like, is that a yes or a no?
So you do or you don't?
Yeah.
Because I'm very interested in this Chipotle now. What got this guy so heated?
I know that whole interaction might have been really rough for you, and it should have been.
You don't deserve
But all
this.
That talk of Chipotle really made me crave Chipotle.
Yeah, so where's my goddamn Chipotle, sir?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Podcast.
What's up with Shem? What happened to your eyes? What are you doing right now? What's going on with you?
Oh, I'm not logged in here yet. I can't see Shem. Shem's in another
room. What happened?
Room.
Man, can I be honest with you guys?
Yeah. So,
Hold on, wait.
Shem just, I just looked over at Shem, and Shem was like, his eyes were like super wide open. He's like, oh. Like, I don't know what happened right before we went on the radio.
No. So here's okay? the thing, right? Like, we all know I struggle with sleep and I have sleep apnea. Yeah. But this is
By
not
the way,
it.
Pause for 1 second.
Yeah.
Look at my screen name on Teams.
Oh, jeez.
What is it? Can't see it. Shem's eyes. There we go. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, go.
So I went out over the weekend.
Yeah. That's right. On Friday, you said it was St. Patrick's Day, and you said you were going out to get drunk, right?
Bruh.
Yeah.
I am still...
You still like, hungover?
I'm still feeling the effects.
Come on.
And I went out Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah.
And, oh, man.
I need like
3 to 5 business days to get recovered, man.
Let's
I'm hurting.
Go through everything, though. So Friday night, you and who go out?
Me and the boys that I used to club with back in the day.
Okay, yeah. So you're all how old?
In our mid-30s.
Okay, and you go where?
We went multiple places. We went bar hopping. That's okay. What it is. Gotcha. Yeah, yes. Yeah, bar hopping.
Okay.
We went to 4 different bars
in
the city. We mix. And that's the problem, right? Like, we mix everything, right? So we had beers. We had all sorts of green liquidy drinks because, you know, for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. Like liquor? Like whiskey,
like hardcore,
vodka?
Okay. All of it. Mixed. And we always started out with shots. Yeah. Every place was like 2 or 3 shots at a
time. Tequila shots or vodka shots?
Both. Okay. She said vodka and tequila as well.
I'm going to drop some truth on you for 1 second before we continue with the story. Mixing alcohol is not the problem, Shem. The problem is, by the time you get to the point of where you're mixing alcohol, you've probably already had too much.
Oh.
Okay?
Yeah, so, facts. Okay, yo. So Friday night now, right? Bar hopping.
Yeah.
By the end of the night.
Look at him.
How I was destroyed. How many drinks do you think you had, you consumed?
Oh, by the end of the night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We probably averaged about, I'm going to say like 5 or 6 drinks per place.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're talking, what, 20 drinks?
Okay, so 20 drinks Friday night.
Yeah.
Saturday, you and the guys, same guys?
We were just going to go out to eat on Saturday,
okay,
right?
Same and, guys. And we know Saturdays are for the boys.
For the boys, let me tell you. And they decided, let's go to 2 other places. One was a lounge.
Yeah.
So like a club, which is like weird being, you know, mid-30s in a club with a bunch of 20-somethings. Uh-huh. And so we did that, and we partied until... I want to say like 3:30 a.m.
Yeah. Okay. Did you get any phone numbers?
No.
Really?
I didn't pick up.
What did the youngs think of the olds?
You know what? My group of friends are pretty young at heart.
That's not what I asked. I didn't say how young did y'all act.
Yeah.
I said, what did the youngs think of the olds?
No, they had no issues with us. We kind of fit right in.
Okay.
Yeah, we're, you know, a good group of guys. So
how many drinks? What are we drinking on Saturday night at the club?
I can't speak to what they had. I stuck to Heineken.
Okay. Heineken. And how many did you have?
God, that
like,
slows you down.
Probably like a 6-pack at least.
So yeah,
and then shots.
Over the course of how? Oh, and shots.
Shots and shots. Yeah,
vodka
yeah.
or tequila or both?
Tequila. Tequila.
Yeah. Tequila yeah. Shots.
Yeah.
Damn.
And it was rough. And then I had church Sunday morning.
Oh. Did you ask for forgiveness? I bet God still didn't forgive you yet.
I'm still
punishing
hurting.
You now. Man, look at them eyes. Look at them eyes.
I'm hurting. I'm not going to lie. I'm hurting
this
right
is
now.
Days later, dude.
Yeah.
What hurts the most?
My pride.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Podcast.
Going on. Feels like -9 right now. 6 degrees is the high today.
Oof.
Sun cloud mix. Last full day of winter. Actually, no, yesterday was the last full day of winter because spring arrives at 5:24 today.
Damn.
So get ready for it.
It's cold, man.
I know. It's still cold, yeah.
Like yesterday was, I don't mean to sound like my mother, but yesterday was damp.
Yeah. Your mom. Now you and your mom are the only two people I know in this world that say that.
Oh, I like it. My mom her whole life has fought dampness. Uh-huh. Even when it's not cold, she'll be like, oh, there's a beautiful breeze outside. I just wish it wasn't so damp.
Have you ever asked her what
dampness is?
Yeah, what the feeling is.
There's a wetness, I guess, in the air.
Like a moisture.
Sogginess? And dampness can happen in spring or winter or whatever. But she doesn't like when it's damp.
Hmm. Like right? Morning dew?
No.
Yeah, but it's like all day.
No. It's not
a mushiness?
No, not a crisp day where it's just like, you know when, like it feels like an old basement. Right?
Oh.
Where there's just
musty,
a, there's,
yeah.
there's a dampness. It's not humidity.
Uh-huh. No.
Right? The damp is not humid. No. I knew that.
No.
Right?
When you said old basement.
Yes.
I know exactly what you're talking
about. Right. Because sometimes, like an old basement can be warm or an old basement can be cold. Mm-hmm. But when it's damp, you know it's damp. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
right?
There's a problem there.
Yes.
What's something us condo people can relate to? Like a wet shower?
No. I can't relate a damp basement to your condo. You're going to have to go experience a wet basement. Like, I can't. Like,
go to your dad's place.
Yeah. Like,
to hang on the basement.
Like,
yeah. Like in the furnace room.
Yeah. Like, right? go experience dampness down there. You know what I mean? Like, shut up. We've spent way too much time talking about my mom's damp basement. Okay.
She's not going to appreciate this. Conversation.
Listen.
Also, it's going to be super awkward when the next time I see her and I have to look her in the eye. Hey, Ma. Anyway, good seeing you. I got to go that way.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix.
Roz and Mocha got you.
Luca and Eva, hello. Welcome to FML. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. How old are you?
I'm 13. My sister is 11.
Okay, here we go. Okay. So what do a 13 and 11-year-old need from the Roz and Mocha show?
My sister and I are drowning in some board decision-making.
Oh, wow. So you wrote us this. Hey, Roz and Mocha, fix my life. We have a problem. My sister and I have a large aquarium that we want to dedicate to you. Oh. We want to get a Roz fish and a Mocha fish, but we don't know your favorite colors.
Do you have fish in the aquarium yet?
No, we're actually, like, we haven't started building it yet, so.
I guess we need to know, like, size of aquarium. What are you guys looking at?
10.6 gallon, I think.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty big aquarium. How many fish can you fit in there?
We're thinking like maybe like 3 or 4.
Oh, okay.
My favorite color is pink.
Okay, that's what I thought, actually.
Okay, so do you have a fish in mind already, knowing that Roz's favorite color is pink?
Yes.
Okay, my favorite color is blue.
Okay.
Is that what you thought, or probably not, eh?
I was thinking like blue or green.
Oh, okay. But does blue line up then with a fish like that you could fit in that aquarium and... Be able to like coexist with the pink fish?
Yeah, definitely.
Don't make me like an ugly face fish though, okay? You know what I mean by that, right?
Yeah.
Like find a pretty fish. I don't want to be an ugly face fish.
A cool tropical fish.
All right. What does your sister want? Anything like in particular?
She's here. Maybe she can tell you.
Hi, Eva.
So at first I wanted like a betta fish or multiple, but then I, like, remembered that betta fish like to fight each other, so I don't know if we're able to get betta fish now because for that reason.
Oh,
so.
What is a betta fish?
It's a fighting fish that originates in Thailand and Southeast Asia, and they like to fight and kill each other, and we didn't really know that originally.
Oh, damn.
You guys almost got a Muay Thai fish?
Yeah. I don't want to be a murder fish. Just want to like sit and hang out and do fun things all day.
Okay. So this is would you say that this is a little bit helpful? Like are you able to now narrow down which fish you're going to get now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right.
Oh, also we want to add a Mori and a Shem fish too. Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay. I don't know what do you think Mori's favorite color is? What do you think Maury's favorite color is? Stripes.
Brown.
No,
brown.
My favorite color is pink yet lavender.
Is what?
Pink yet lavender. So a light purple.
Purple. You can purple. Go with purple.
I'll go with purple.
So you need a purple fish for damn it, Maury. And Shem, remind us again, what is your favorite color?
Red. I love red.
Oh, okay. A lot of red fish out there.
Yeah.
Why don't you throw a lobster in there?
Oh, there you, yeah. There you go.
Call it Shem.
I like that.
Lobster in the 10 gallon?
I don't know. Or a shrimp. What about a shrimp?
Yeah, no, lobster's cool, man. Come on.
Okay.
That lobster be king of the tank. There you go. This is a pretty easy FML.
Yeah, fixed.
Eva and Luca, 11 and 13 years old. Thank you for joining us on Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
Thank you for helping us.
Looking for some advice? Be a part of Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life. Text FML to 925-555.
KISS 925.
Paula, it's Roz and Mocha. How are you?
Hi, good, thanks. How are you?
Good. So last week when on the show, I had brought in my diary from when I was like 10, 11 years old.
Yeah.
And I was reading some of the journal entries, right?
Yeah.
A lot of them were about like the hockey scores and stuff like that. It's I used to keep track.
It's just the way that the child mind works, though. Like, I think that that was the most endearing part about it. It's like the way that you say the things that you chose to say and what was important at that point in your life. Like, that's what you realize from reading a kid diary, is the things that were important to them, which you read it now and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, and I timestamped everything.
Everything.
The time is now 7:43 p.m.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And in there, I also had expressed my displeasure for my mom saying that she was pregnant again.
Yes.
And I was not happy that my youngest sister, Lisa, was going to join the family.
And I believe the quote was, my mom is going to have her baby as opposed to my sister is arriving.
Correct.
Right?
I was still so pissed. So Paula reached out because she said she found her diary from 1995.
Did you?
Yeah. So prior to hearing us talk about the journal entries on the show, you obviously knew that you had the diary, but had you gone back and looked at it?
Yes, definitely. I found it and I called it my nothing book.
Okay. What did it look like? What was on the cover?
So it looks sort of like maybe a grandmother would have this book.
Okay.
It says thoughts and memories, and it has a rocking chair on the front and then flowers and leaves.
So what did you used to write in there? Was it just like your daily thoughts, things that were bothering you? What?
I wrote poems.
Oh.
Poems, and like I would find little quotes that I thought were important about like love and friendship, and just I wrote poems and I wrote a rap.
So how old are you at this point?
I would have been in 95. I would have been 15.
Okay, cool. Okay.
So I need to know what before we'll get you to read a couple of the poems, but I need to I need to hear the rap. Was the rap song done like to a popular song at that point? Was it in relation to a song from back in the day, or this is one that you just came up with?
It's one that I came up with. I don't have like a beat to it or anything,
no
but
problem.
Tupac was my favorite artist.
Oh, wow.
Yep. I was very into Tupac and Biggie. They were my like idols. I loved Tupac, had pictures of him all over my wall.
We would not have been friends back then. I was on Team Biggie all day. I hated
okay,
Tupac.
Okay. Okay. So what is the name of the rap?
I Used to Believe.
Okay.
And it's from 1995.
Okay.
Go ahead, Paula.
Okay. I've got the music thumping as I sit here in pain, looking out the window at the hard beating rain. The outside world is breaking and crumbling. People's emotions are mixed and tumbling. Nobody cares about the shootings or the lootings. And as I sit here debating, contemplating, my heart cries. Kids are thrown in jail, knowing that it's over, waiting for their bail. They always say, no more fun, shouldn't have bought that gun. Their lives are now filled with nothing but mystery, fading away in their own private misery. People are still dying while the violence on the streets keeps on multiplying. Why is no one trying to stop it? The messed up teenagers laughing and talking, dealing and socking. They think they're so rough, but they're not so tough. Abusing and misusing their valuable time without a reason or a rhyme. Hooking up with the wrong crowd, but they feel that they're all that and they're proud. I used to believe that love and peace ruled, but now I can't be fooled because I'm left wondering if people will ever be at ease. Will the gunshots and the killings never cease? The thunder is booming and crashing. The lightning is flashing as our souls are thrashing in the web of hate. Now there's nothing left to do but settle in our own fate. Time begins to slip as I slowly lose my grip on the dreams I once had.
Damn. See what Biggie and Pac did? Got us all emotional. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. What was that called again?
I Used to Believe.
So you wrote this one, if you're just joining us, that was from Paula's diary that she found. You wrote that in 1995 when you were 15.
Yep.
Wow. Yes. Okay. What was going on then? Like, where did all this come from? Like, what was the motivation behind that? That's a lot for a 15-year-old.
Yes. and the fact that I kept it, like, it was very, I guess, really important to me. I think it was just all of, like, the East Coast, West Side things that were going on. Yeah, and I was really into the music and just, you know, looking around growing up. Just, I mean, I grew up in Thornhill. I'm not, you know.
Thornhill and gangster. Especially back in 95.
I know. And so it was really just, I guess, just the emotions going on within me and just not knowing how to express that and just looking at life.
Yeah.
As a 15-year-old, yeah.
Pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah, it's great, though. It's great. If anybody else has a diary entry from when they were a little kid, because I think Mocha started something real great, you get a real sense of people when you sort of dip back like this. If anybody else has a diary entry that they want to call up, we'll let you read it on the radio. Yeah. I love these.
925-555, or you can call us at 416-870-8888. Paula, you're the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I love you guys. And Maury. And Shem.
Love you right back, Paula. Take care.
All right. Thanks so much. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Bam. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, get ready for your hearts to start fluttering once again.
Oh.
Chad Michael Murray is back.
Damn.
And better than ever.
Is he?
Yeah. Better than ever?
He, like, he's, you know, long hair, a little more masculine now.
Okay. Chad Michael Murray, Dan Mamore. Better than Chad Michael Murray, One Tree Hill?
Oh, absolutely. In my opinion, yeah.
Yeah. Better than Gilmore Girls?
Yes.
Better than Freaky Friday?
Yes.
Wow.
Interesting.
Well, because he's like, now he's got like hair on his chest.
Yeah,
because
it's Chad Manly Murray now.
Okay, hold on. I need a pen. I need to write that
down. Dear diary. So Chad Michael Murray's brilliant. In a new show called Sullivan's Crossing.
It's actually really good.
Is
yeah?
It? Yeah?
Yeah, it's actually the first episode aired this past Sunday.
Sunday nights on CTV. And it's about this woman. She's like a neurosurgeon. And she gets in some legal problems. She's living in Boston. And she moves back to her hometown in Nova Scotia. And they actually filmed the show in Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
And Chad Michael Murray plays, I guess, like the new guy in town that moves to town, and he's a little bit of a troublemaker.
He's like taking care of, he's like the handyman on the resort.
Right. And he's just like the guy that's like, I'm not going to play by anybody else's rules except for mine.
And I think his wardrobe only consisted of tank tops.
Oh, yeah. I
mean, listen, when you're that kind, when you got that chest on your hair. I mean, you got that hair on your chest? I'm all flustered now. Chad Michael Murray,
don't
right?
Don't worry about it. Scott Patterson's in this show too, because Scott Patterson was Luke on Gilmore Girls.
That's their reunion.
Who I loved a lot on that show.
Dan Mamore getting time with Mr. Chad Michael Murray, or as you called him,
Chad Manly Murray.
Oh my God! Okay, the young gay boy inside of me is freaking the F out right now. Chad Michael Murray is here. Ah!
What is the bearded man in front of me thinking?
The same. I'm kind of freaking out too, let's be honest with you.
There we go.
You know what? I guaranteed everybody right now will be looking at you going, oh my God, I had a poster of Chad Michael Murray on my wall. You were like the teen heartthrob and stuff. But back in the day, did you ever bump into other teen heartthrobs and compare posters or be like, I have more posters? And like, was there like a teen heartthrob, like, you know, gathering?
We have AA meetings now. You know, it's like Teen Heartthrobs Anonymous, and you show up, and you know, we go. It's like, you know, Freddie Prinze Jr., and you know, we just go on. It's a whole crew of us, and we meet every Thursday. And now, I don't think I'm not sure that these are things that ever cross the brain pan.
Do you still have any of your posters?
Yeah, I do actually. I do. I don't. They're in a. I actually know this because we saw them. We cleaned out the garage. Oh, that was a big job. And I found my old keepsakes box. You know, chair backs from Gilmore Girls and Tree Hill and all those. And then I found some old posters from, like, I don't know, Teen Beat or Teen People and all those different magazines. And you got to hold on to that stuff, you know? I think my daughter and my kids, they'll enjoy it when they get older.
To show your kids, look, Dad used to be hot.
Wow.
Jamie Lee Curtis has said the Freaky Friday sequel is, quote, going to happen. Would you be up to doing the sequel? What do you know? What have you heard? Anything?
I'd be there in a heartbeat.
Really?
Oh, are you kidding me? I mean, look, you put me on set with Jamie, I'm there, 100%. She's such a hero of mine. I mean, when I was young, she taught me so much. Just about being a pro and being free, and goodness gracious me, like, I grew up watching her, and then I get to work with her on Freaky Friday. So yeah, it comes back around. Jake's back this time. Maybe he'll go from like a Ducati to a hog.
Oh,
we'll see. Or maybe he'll go down, he'll downgrade, he'll go from like a Ducati to a Prius. Or maybe a Tesla.
It's Chad Michael Murray with Dan Mori. By the way, he's on the new show called Sullivan's Crossings, which airs on Sundays on CTV.
Who's ready for a fun game? You want to play a fun game? Okay, we are going to play Chad Michael Murray, Would You Rather, okay?
Would You Rather,
okay.
Here we go.
Would you rather play Lucas Scott from One Tree Hill or Tristan DeGray from Gilmore Girls for the rest of your career?
Oh, good.
Lucas Scott. I believe in his heart. I like his heart. He's the moral compass, and I'm very much a moral compass of my own.
All right. Would you rather be stuck in a time loop like Jake from Freaky Friday or have to repeat your high school years like Lucas from One Tree Hill?
I'm going to go ahead and say time loop. I hate high school.
Really?
I absolutely hate high school. Forgive me. I know that that's not the promo I'm supposed to be pushing, but... Golly, high school's brutal. It's absolutely brutal.
Golly.
All right, would you rather be best friends with Jamie from One Tree Hill or Rory from Gilmore Girls?
That's a good question.
Rory.
You know what? I'm going to go with Jamie.
Oh,
he was just the ultimate optimist.
I mean, now do we feel bad for Rory?
She wasn't the optimist. She had a little bit more pessimistic nature at times with the dry sense of humor. But I just, I don't know, something about me craves optimism these days.
So much fun. Chad Michael Murray.
Ah! Wow.
What the hell was that
your
noise?
Way of, like, flirting with the guy?
Quietly flirting.
Yeah. Jeez. Like a weird bird.
Chad Michael Murray.
The young gay man and the weird-ass bird inside him. You're freaking out right now.
Sullivan's Crossing, Sunday nights on CTV.
Ah! The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hello, it's Roz and Mocha. Who's this?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. I just had a quick question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I was recently in a bit of a rut, just kind of feeling down from stress from work and other things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And recently just kind of pulled myself out. And I realized there's something I always do to pull myself out. And I was wondering if you guys had something similar.
What do you always do?
I always get a giant pizza and watch a hilarious comedy special.
Oh, nice. What's on the pizza?
Oh, just regular pepperoni.
Okay. When was the last time you did that, and what did you watch?
So it was just about a day or two ago. I watched two. I watched one from Bert Kreischer and one from Bill Burr, and I absolutely laughed my pants off and then felt great.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah. Why were you in the rut?
Just stress from work and family and things like that, sort of all accumulating at once.
I hear you.
That sucks, dude. But at least you have, you know, an escape. Like, you know what your escape is, or you know what that one thing is that's going to help provide some relief or distraction, right?
Exactly.
And how are things now? That was like a couple of days ago. How are you feeling now?
Great.
Yeah?
Back to normal.
Okay. You're not using it as an excuse to order pizzas every day, huh?
I wish.
I don't know. Do you have one of those things, Ross?
Because I thought a lot about this stuff when I was writing the book, right?
Yeah.
And I always look at it as I always try and do something in my day that makes it the sort of day all worth it, right? Like, so on my most stressful days or when I wasn't feeling myself or I wasn't, you know, feeling that I was, you know, doing enough at work, but also because I was doing so much at work, I wasn't doing enough at home. I always made sure that there was something in my day that made it all worth it, right? That I looked forward to. And for me, that was always cooking.
Nice.
And that is always sort of my, like, I've come home before, like over the years where I was just exhausted and pissed off and,
you know, upset or angry. And, you know, and Catherine would always be like, listen, just sit on the couch. I'll get you a drink and we'll just like sit and hang out. And I'm like, no, I got to go to the grocery store because I got to get a bunch of stuff because I got to start cooking. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, cool. You know, she's like, that seems stressful to me and I would never want to do that.
Yeah.
But if that is your thing, then go for it. And so to me, you know, on the days where I sort of need a win or I need to decompress or I need to not feel like I have lost more than I gained, I jump in the kitchen and I cook.
Yeah. Oh, that's real nice.
And that's sort of how I get it back. And I don't cook for me, right? Yeah. I cook for the girls. And that's sort of how I get back a hold of the things that got away.
Cooking, absolutely. But I also found that walking the dog helps me because I'm in ruts all the time. But I find that walking the dog, getting fresh air is absolutely amazing.
Is it about the walk or is it about getting out of the house or is it, what is it?
It's about getting out of the house, getting some fresh air. And as I walk, I always, I find while I'm walking, I'm just, you know, look like thinking. I'm always thinking. And I find that it just clears my head.
Yeah.
I got to keep busy. I got to do stuff because if I...
Yeah.
I don't mind like going for the walks and stuff with the dog, but like if I'm by myself and if something's bothering me, then I'll just like sit there and keep thinking about it until it just kind of spirals.
And I find spending money really helps.
So I just
retail therapy.
I like to keep myself busy just doing whatever else. Mm-hmm. And honestly, guys, the one thing that like brightens my day like the absolute most is picking my kid up from school.
Yeah.
Because I'm never part of like the morning drop off because of the times that we work here. So I've never had that experience. But picking him up after school and seeing him run out of that school when I'm there, oh my God, it makes like everything better.
The same could be said when you get home and a dog jumps up and down at you.
Oh, I hate that so
much. Do you really?
I hate it.
That's my favorite thing
in the
world.
I've never known anybody that hated when their own dog jumped up on them.
It's not the golden retriever, Tig.
Yeah.
Right? He's 10 now. He's kind of like just whatever.
Chill?
Yeah. He's so chill. It's the little one with all the energy. He's almost 2 now, the Australian Shepherd. Man, I get home and he's just like all over, like jumping up, like his paws are reaching up to my shoulders.
So stressful.
That's fine, but I'm like, bro, so I just got home. Like, can I take my jacket off at least? Are you hitting me with the jumping and stuff? Not yet. I'm not ready yet.
That's literally the reason I go home.
You're going to start having to send your boy to night school to pick him up twice in a day.
Oh, man. Dude, thank you so much for calling in. I hope that helped like relieve some of your stress or give you a little bit more insight.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, guys. And Mocha, I just learned on the podcast that you moved to my hometown of Aurora.
Oh, nice.
So hope you're enjoying it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, dude. It's great. All 66,000 of us.
Oh, yeah. It's a party.
Take care. See ya. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix.
Roz and Mocha got you.
Yo, Sean, it's Roz and Mocha. What's up?
Hey, family drama. In-laws can dish it, but they can't take it, man.
Uh-oh. Okay, Sean, you wrote, it says, hey, Roz and Mocha, fix my life. I've been married to my wife since last February and have been together since 2019. Her family has been pretty judgmental and petty with me since the beginning, but I have a tough skin and can handle it no problem. The problem is that they can pretty much say and do anything they want to me, and I've noticed that they do the same with other partners of members in the family. However, if we do anything similar, it's like a 9-alarm fire. That's a big fire.
Oh, boy.
and then you give an example here. They call you a girl or make fun of you for liking IPA because the cans are always colorful. And then you say, however, in the same fight, if we're playing beer pong and her cousin and I are playing against is singing a Fat Joe song. And then you'll say, come on, Fat Joe, shoot the ball. Then you're accused of fat shaming her, even though you're fatter than the cousin, right?
Exactly. Okay. And the dude's name is Joseph. Like, if I'm playing a guy named Joseph and he's singing Fat Joe, if I didn't say the joke, I'd probably kick myself, right?
it's right there for you.
The joke writes itself.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
So do the family, like, it's not just you, right? It's like the partners of everybody else.
Yeah, and okay. Like there was an argument yesterday with one of the other partners, and like they have two kids. One of the kids is 12, and they're talking about, oh, but when she met the family, she did this. Like, okay, it's 20 years ago. Like, why are we still talking about this? And why are you still judging her and treating her differently because of that? Okay. That happened 20 years.
Sounds to me like it's a control thing.
I don't know. Like, they want to act like they're not controlling and that, you know, like, they say other people are controlling or whatever. But to me, it just seems like, yes, they are very close and they're very tight-knit, but it's like they just think that they're, stuff doesn't stink, everyone else does.
Pause,
you know?
For 1 second, Sean. Who are we talking about here? Because so are we talking about like your wife's parents, her siblings? Like, who are we talking about?
Her siblings, cousins, some aunts and uncles. Like,
how often are you hanging out with your wife's cousins?
Pretty often. Their family is very, very close, and that's another part, right? Because now it's gotten to a point where, okay, I don't mind. They say whatever they want. I know that who I am. I'm going to remove myself from the situation because the only other option is me to stand up to them, and that is not going to end well, right? I stop going around, and then from that, they're like, well, now you're not coming around. You're taking, you know, your wife away from us. You're breaking up the family. And
God.
I don't have a problem with her going there by herself. I just don't want to put myself in that situation.
Yeah. And what does your wife say? Like, is she saying anything to her family about what they're saying to you?
The problem is that when it's me, it's just me and her and we're talking, like, she understands the point of view and she agrees with me and she's like, I don't know why they're like that, etc. But the moment, as soon as they're on the phone or they're in person, it's like she's a different person. Her beliefs change.
Mm.
Right. So in those moments, right, where you're like, hey, Fat Joe, shoot the ball.
Yeah.
Is it in the moment you get accused of fat shaming, or is it like after the fact on the phone through the gossip train?
Yeah, it's after the fact, because what happens is one family member takes offense and then they get another family member, and then all of a sudden all of the family is talking about it, to the point where I had to go out of my way to find this guy's phone number to text him to apologize.
Wait, but does Fat Joe have a problem with this?
Well, apparently he did.
Apparently Fat Joe.
I texted him, he said he didn't.
But after y'all played beer pong, he obviously went and said something to someone.
Exactly.
About Sean calling me Fat Joe.
Right.
I think that the problem isn't so much that they can dish it out, but they can't take it, is that they're just a very gossipy family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if stuff doesn't happen in the moment, how are you to know? You just think you're trying to assimilate to these people. They're all ripping on each other and having fun, and you got a sense of humor, and you got a couple zingers. Yeah, so why not throw a couple out there? Like, you're just at that point, you're trying to assimilate. You're trying to be a family member. You're trying to join the crew, the tribe, whatever you want to call it, right? But the problem with that is you can't then leave, and they can't every single time you walk out of the house all get together and do a post-mortem on how inappropriate you were, like that, mm-hmm. It's the gossipy part of the family that is the problem. It's not so much that they can dish it out, but they can't take it because in the moment you don't think you're doing anything wrong.
So, like what they've told me, and again, this is completely opposite to my way of thinking. But according to them, because they do it within themselves, it's okay. They're not bringing it up to the person's face, so that's okay. Bringing it up to the person's face is disrespectful. So if you talk and gossip to the person so that they have a chance to defend themselves, that's disrespectful. But if you do it behind their back and in a gossipy way, then that's okay.
Bro, what kind of family is this? This is crazy.
So here's what I would say, right, is that next time something like this happens where they start gossiping about you, like the Fat Joe thing is a perfect example of that. Right? Where instead of going through and finding this guy's number and texting him and everything else, don't do that. Wait until everybody's back together, right? And then when everybody's in the room together, look at Fat Joe and be like, yo, Joe, hey, last time we were playing, I called you Fat Joe. And I heard that, you know, hurt your feelings. Just want to make sure, you know, I wasn't out there trying to hurt your feelings. Do it in front of everybody, because what they will see is the ramifications of their behind your back gossip.
Yeah.
And just leave it at that.
Don't have these conversations over text or in private. If they only talk about people behind their backs, you only talk to those people to their faces.
Okay. I mean, that's definitely good advice. I feel like that I should try it at least.
Right?
Yeah. It's gone to such a breaking point because I don't know if I'm going or coming, you know? I don't know how to win in here, man.
You sound like an all right guy, Sean. You're gonna get through this, okay.
Cool.
It's my birthday today, too, as well, guys.
Oh, so shoot. Happy birthday, Big Sean.
Thanks, man.
Love you, bro. Appreciate Thanks for that. Reaching out, man.
Love
Thank you for
too,
listening.
Guys.
Right on,
Later,
dude.
Man.
You take care.
Take care.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life on KISS.
Robbie Amell, friend of the show, keeping very busy. He's in a new movie called Simulant, which is out next month. Season 3 of Upload on Amazon Prime drops later this year. And this weekend, he is at Toronto Comic Con, happening at the Metro Toronto Convention Center. Robbie Amell, welcome back to the Roz and Mocha Show.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me back.
Buddy, how's it going, man? How's life? How's the family?
I'm on week 4.5 out of a 5-week solo dad venture because Italia's away shooting.
Yeah.
So it's been quite the 4.5 weeks.
Yeah. And how old is your little guy now? Is he 4.5 actually?
He's 3.5.
3.5. Okay.
But he's 3.5 going on 40. And he's,
yeah.
He's so funny. It's been awesome, but oh man, am I tired.
Yeah. So what is life like at home now with you solo with a 3.5-year-old versus when Italia is there with you guys?
There's more movies.
Yeah, you guys have probably run your course of Coco Melon shows on Netflix, huh?
You know what's messed up? I've taken him to see Ant-Man 3 in theaters, which
yes.
Probably not great for 3.5. But what was way scarier was Puss in Boots. The villain in Puss in Boots is a wolf with red eyes. And I was like, oh, what are you guys doing to me here?
Nightmares. Yeah. Nightmares.
Yeah. And he's not old enough to keep secrets yet.
No. Oh, no. No.
Oh, buddy.
I get thrown right under the bus.
Listen, man, you got to be excited about this. Toronto Comic Con is back. First one since COVID kicking off today. You're a big part of it. What are you most excited about?
Yeah, it's super cool. I mean, I haven't seen Danielle in a little while from The Flash. She's going to be there. Carlos is going to be there. I'm a big fan of The Boys. A bunch of the casts of The Boys are going to be there. I'm just kind of excited to people watch and do some mingling and also meet some fans. I mean, these Comic Cons, have you guys ever been to them?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're insane, yeah,
they're,
dude.
They're super fun. They're super positive. Everybody's super excited to be there. It's just like, you know, the fandom is real, and it's very cool to be a part of.
Are you able to tell when fans walk up what they're a fan of that you've done?
80% of the time, yes. And then the 20% of the time that I'm wrong is kind of fun too, because like I'll be like, oh, this person is definitely like Scooby-Doo, and they'll be like, I love The Babysitter, and I'm like, oh, I didn't see that.
When you go to things like Comic-Con, do you get to enjoy, because you're just as big of a nerd for these things as we are, you're there to meet with fans, but do you ever get a chance to like nerd out and walk around the venue to look at stuff and see what like new products there are and stuff like that?
Yeah, I definitely pop around to the booths. You know, there's a great story of Bryan Cranston wearing a Bryan Cranston mask at San Diego Comic-Con. I'm not at that level. I don't have to pretend to not be me. I can just pop around, and people normally just kind of wave and are very cool. They're not trying to do anything inappropriate or you know, kind of bug me while I'm actually out enjoying kind of seeing what else is out there.
Right. Yeah, but that's because you're walking around with a shirt on. If it was off, it'd be mayhem, bro.
Yeah, and I just need a costume with me shirtless. Just fake abs.
Honestly, because I'm like, I know that we've talked before and do an upload and everything else, and you know the amount of work that you've done with no shirt on. I just watched the trailer for Simulant. Honestly, I just watched the trailer for Simulant, and it's almost comical now. It's almost comical. Do you like get the script and realize, okay, no shirt in this one either?
Code 8 and Code 8 Part 2, shirts on.
Oh, okay.
He's trying to set a new trend.
I think that's just because my buddy Jeff directs them. He's like, keep your shirt on.
You know what's so crazy, dude? So Robbie Amell, by the way, is on the Roz and Mocha Show. When Upload on Prime came out, great show. Writing on it is brilliant. You guys are so hilarious on it. You guys were basically telling the story of like the metaverse, right? Mm-hmm. And then the metaverse happens. And now with Simulant, with this movie, it's all AI, and all anyone has been able to talk about in the past couple of weeks is how quickly AI has advanced to, like, a scary level. How does this keep happening to you where you're in these shows that get four movies that get filmed so long before the thing that you're talking about in the movie actually becomes a thing in real life?
I know. It's super weird. The upload stuff, kudos to Greg. He's brilliant. But so much of the stuff that he puts in the show, by the time it airs, happens in real life. And it's a little bit of a, like, it's a little annoying because he'll be ahead of it and then it looks like he's behind it. So it's a little frustrating in that regard. But I mean, it's I hope it's happening with Code 8 Part 2 as well. Like, the one of the big parts of Part 2 are the robot dogs, the police dogs.
Right.
And now they're everywhere. There's videos of almost exactly what we replicated in visual effects is now being created in real life. And it's wild. I mean, I think part of it is I'm really lucky to work with really smart people who are kind of doing their job and doing their research and figuring out what's at the, you know, the edge of what's real and what's coming, and they're guessing right, or they're helping create it.
How long until you in real life, Robbie, wind up in some sort of AI or metaverse golf tournament?
Oh man. I've played the Oculus golf stuff, and it's like, it's fun, but you can also just flick your wrist and it's just as good as taking a full swing. So it's one of those things where it's not quite there, but when it is, I'm not leaving the house. I'm going to become, I'm going full, like the people from Wall-E. It's going to be bad.
Yeah. Robbie and Mel, we love you so much, bro. Thank you for always making time for us on the Roz and Mocha Show. Everyone go watch the trailer for Simulant. It looks awesome. Your co-stars are Jordana Brewster. Simu Liu is in there, and Sam Worthington. Everyone doing a great job in this movie. And of course, Robbie and Mel appearing at Toronto Comic Con, which is back this weekend. Metro Toronto Convention Center kicking off today. Cannot wait to see you down there, bro.
Me too. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I'm going to play you two songs by T-Pain right now. T-Pain released, believe it or not, a 7-track album available on Spotify and Apple Music, and it's a cover album, okay? Mm-hmm. And he started working on this in 2019, right after he won Masked Singer.
Still with the auto-tune?
No. Here's the thing.
No.
Natural voice, zero auto-tune. He covers Frank Sinatra. He covers Sam Cooke, Black Sabbath. He covers Sam Smith, Stay With Me. Here's T-Pain singing Sam Smith, Stay With Me.
Guess it's true, I'm not good at a one-night stand. But I still need love, cause I'm just a man. These nights never seem to go to plan, yeah. I don't want you to leave, can you hold my hand? Oh, won't you stay with me? Cause you
And if you know anything about T-Pain, he was like notorious for autotune. He basically...
Didn't people get mad at him for ruining music or something in that documentary?
That's right.
Because they accused him of not being able to really sing, right? But then he popularized autotune again.
You should mail them a CD of this.
He's still heavily autotuned, just not in the T-Pain way.
Correct. Do you want to hear T-Pain and his cover of Don't Stop Believin' by Journey?
Yes. Sure.
Again, with no autotune, just like natural voice.
Living in a lonely world, like the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit.
Y'all look like you really digging this one, Roz.
No.
This one's a little off.
By the way, this is T-Pain. He released a cover album called On Top of the Covers.
Give the Sam Smith or the Sam Cooke one?
Sam Smith one, you mean?
Did you say Sam Cooke?
He also does one. I don't have that one here, no.
Smell of wine and tea perfume.
Like, he's still heavily auto-tuned. Heavily auto-tuned.
Not in the kind of like T-Pain auto-tune way that we remember, right?
No, but to say that this isn't auto-tuned is just not accurate. But I like his styling on it, though.
Yeah, he changes up the arrangement a bit.
Yeah, I really like the choices that he made, for sure.
Let me see if I can get to the other part here. Believing. Hold your head up to the sky. There you go. That is T-Pain releasing a cover album called On Top of the Covers. Out now. Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Laura, hello. Welcome to the Roz and Mocha Show. How you doing?
I'm doing great today. How are you guys?
Good. What's up?
Okay, so I need an argument settled. We're having a debate on what type of dog the Dammits own.
What type of dog the Dammits own? What is it between? What do you have and what does the other person say?
So my partner says that it's the same as their dog, a Cocker Spaniel and Poodle mix. Mm-hmm. But I think the dog's too dark for that. So I'm like Maltese mixed with something, but there might be some poodle in there too, because I do see the curly hair.
Dim and Maury, your dog, damn it, Andy, what kind of dog is he?
Andy Monroe is an Aussie Doodle, a mix between an Australian Shepherd and poodle, and 100% awesomeness.
Good boy. 100% good boy.
Yeah, he's a good boy.
So you were both wrong.
We were both incorrect. We did not pass.
And Mocha has an Australian Shepherd.
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, are you all dog people?
I am. Roz has 13 cats, I believe.
No, I have 4 cats.
What?
I'm not going to sit here and be cat-shamed by you wiener holes all day. Okay? I have 4.
And Shem has zero animals at home.
Okay. We foster dogs. So we're on our 5th foster dog right now. And she actually happens to be an Australian Shepherd mix as well. Thank you for settling that. I'll have to go back and tell him that he was, in fact, incorrect.
Okay. Did you guys play, like, was there a wager on this?
Just a friendly competition between partners.
Okay.
Nothing too serious.
All right. Cool. Well, thank you, Laura. Yeah.
Thanks so much for your time.
Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Bye.
You called him, damn it, Andy.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I finished watching that Class of 07 show last night.
Already?
Oh, yeah. It's like 8 episodes. Rox made us plow through it. It's so good.
How long are each episode?
Like 30 minutes.
Oh,
maybe
okay.
It's 10 episodes. Maybe it's 10 episodes.
Oh,
you know what it's like? You know, I was trying to describe it. You know what it's like? Because I had said it's a little bit of Mean Girls and a little bit of Lord of the Flies. Yeah. It is to me, a better version of Yellow Jackets.
So when you described the show before, I didn't want to say it because I couldn't remember what
the name
of the show
is. Which is all a version of Lord of the Flies.
Correct.
Right, yes.
Yellow Jackets. That's the soccer team plane crash one, right?
Right.
And then there's flashbacks in that as well?
In this show?
No, in Yellow Jackets? Does this one have flashbacks?
But they're completely relevant to what's happening. There's no sort of mystery, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're completely
anything
relevant.
Anything like the show Lost from back in the day? Probably?
No. No, I mean, I didn't watch Lost, but it's not like that. But,
so you guys like this show, though?
Oh, my God, it's so good.
Describe it again. What happened
to
the earthquake?
Okay, so it is a 10 or 15-year high school reunion for the class of 07, and it's a girls' school in Australia, and they're all back there, and they all have their sort of personalities, their mean girl personality, like all of that stuff. There's a small group of them that are sort of in the gym at the time, and something starts to happen with the ground, and one of the girls goes to the reunion to warn everybody else, and then all of a sudden, the world collapses and floods. And their little sort of peak where their school was is now an island in the middle of nothing. And so they have to survive as a small group of women, mm-hmm. Basically on an island forever. And so they have to make their own rules and they have to fend for food. And then it's amazing. It's so it's funny as hell, but it's like really dark as well.
So is it written as a comedy? Like it's supposed to be a comedy?
It is a comedy, but they get into like some stuff.
And it's only women.
Because it was an all girls school.
Yeah.
Right. It was an all girls school. But it's really great. Like you have the one, you have the one person who is grown now who could, never poop at school, right?
and now she's forced to.
You got to do it.
Right. You got to do it.
Yeah. You got no choice.
You got no choice. But the show is so good.
Really?
Oh, my God. And the music in it is amazing. Like, it's all, like, everything in it is just, like, really, really. And it's, and you know the thing I like about it? Because it's Australia on an island, and most of the show takes place in the day. What? It's not dark.
Oh.
It's a very, very well-lit program, which I'm very happy with.
Yeah. Oh, very I was going to say, with. You know, I thought of you when I watched, what was it, episode one of the new season of Mandalorian.
Oh.
Because the entire thing was dark. Oh. A lot of it took place in like a cave.
Underwater.
Yeah.
I couldn't watch. I couldn't.
Like, I was like, there's no way Ross is going on this show.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
You see this lawsuit that Bad Bunny is involved in now?
No. Is he suing somebody? Is he getting sued?
He's getting sued by an ex-girlfriend for $40 million.
Jeez.
Now, this girl that's suing him, they were together for like 6-7 years.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Back in the college days, she helped him like book shows. She did like invoices for him. She did all sorts of like the managerial stuff.
She wants a piece of the career.
Right? Not just that. At one point, she recorded herself after he requested. She recorded herself saying, "Bad Bunny, baby."
Okay.
And he included it in two of his songs and put on an album. Combined, these two songs have over 1 billion streams. And she's saying that he's using the music or the song, the part that she said in his music without her permission. She's also claiming that his management team went to her and said, "Hey, we want to use this stuff in songs. Mm-hmm. We'll offer you $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what it sounds like, by the way.
Bad Bunny, way, 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 way.
Okay, so right there at the beginning.
Bad Bunny, way, 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 way.
And that's the only time in this one particular song that her voice appears. Okay? In another song, her voice is featured again. Listen very carefully. So now, on top of the billions of streams, you know, the Grammy Awards that Bad Bunny has picked up and like his global status now, she's saying that she can't go anywhere now without people who recognize her from like Instagram and stuff, because the two of them were dating for like 6-7 years. Mm-hmm. She can't go anywhere now without people saying "Bad Bunny, baby" to her.
Yeah, but that's just because of who you chose to date.
Totally, totally. But also, all of that combined. That,
like, he asked for it, you recorded it. So right there is the permission.
Yeah, so all of that combined, she hit him with $40 million.
This is like one of those things where I can have an opinion about it, but my opinion means nothing. It's just whatever the lawyers think.
Sure.
Like, does she have a case? I don't know. Maybe. It's not up to me. It's what the law says.
Back in 2013, Drake went through the exact same thing, where on a song, which is Shem's theme song, Marvin's Room. Facts. It's like the saddest Drake song ever. You listen to that when you're like super sad, sitting at home, like in your room alone.
Man, staring out the window when it's raining.
Right? there's a girl, her Drake saved her voicemail and used it in a song.
Hello? Yeah, I have a phone call. Yeah, I'm good. Is it still working?
We like recorded the phone call. It's kind of hard to,
yeah, I wanna,
to hear.
I'm still kind of look loud. I never watch the bed.
Right? So he went through the same thing, and apparently they settled it, but they never said, it was never revealed if it was like a monetary settlement or if so, what that dollar amount was.
Because that's different though, right? Because you're not allowed in Canada to, you have to, there's double permissions when you're recording somebody, right? You can't just secretly record somebody.
Actually, for audio, only one person needs to know, the person who's recording.
Is it single?
Single for audio.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I didn't know that. And then her voice is here again.
Are you drunk right now?
I'm just saying, you could
And then through the rest of the song, it's just that part with her saying, "Are you drunk right now?" keeps featured in the song.
Yeah, I'm surprised with the Bad Bunny thing that she didn't take that and just turn it into something awesome for herself. Like, make herself the Bad Bunny baby girl.
Yeah, but you know what's better than that is $2 million.
You know what's better
but
than
she
that?
She could have put that on shirts and sold
shirts. Yeah.
Yeah, she's not making $40 million off of Bad Bunny baby t-shirts.
No.
Because she should have.
No, no.
She could have.
No, no. Like and,
baby
and again,
tees, Bad Bunny baby tees?
Again, I have, I, you can have an opinion, but like if lawyers say she has a case and, you know, power to her, go get your bad, what is it? Go get your bad baby money? Go get your bad bunny money, baby?
Bad bunny
your bad baby,
baby
money money? Yeah, okay.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Podcast.
Ah, look at that smile on Shem's face. He knows. Roz probably hits a button that says skip intro.
No, I always watch the intro.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, yeah. I never skip the intro to Ted Lasso.
It's the theme song, yes, for Ted Lasso. The cast were at the White House yesterday. So Jason Sudeikis, Ted Lasso. Mm-hmm. Hannah Waddingham, who plays Rebecca. Brett Goldstein, Roy Kent. Mm-hmm. Brendan Hunt, who plays Coach Beard.
Yeah.
And then Toheeb Jimo, who plays Sam. And they were meeting with the president and first lady to discuss mental health care. And Jason Sudeikis in the White House press room talking to the press. Much like, not in character, but much like his character when he's talking to the press after or before a Richmond FC game.
No matter who you are, no matter where you live, no matter who you voted for, we all... probably, I assume. We all know someone who has, or have been that someone ourselves, actually, that's struggled, that's felt isolated, that's felt anxious, that has felt alone, right? And it's actually one of the many things that, believe it or not, that we all have in common as human beings, right? And so that means that it's something that we can all, you know, and should talk about with one another when we're feeling that way or when we recognize that in someone feeling that way. So please, you know, we encourage everyone, and this is a big theme of the show, is like to check in with your, you know, your neighbor, your coworker, your friends, your family, and ask how they're doing. And listen, sincerely, you know, I mean, you all ask questions for a living, but you also listen for a living. So, you know, who am I preaching to? The choir, that is. Okay? While it's easier said than done, we also have to know that we shouldn't be afraid to ask for help ourselves. And that does take a lot, especially when it's something that has such a negative stigma to it, such as mental health. And it doesn't need to be that way. And if you can ask for that help from a professional, fantastic. If it needs to be a loved one, equally as good in a lot of ways. Because sometimes you just need to let that pressure valve release.
Because I didn't know how to feel after watching season 2 when they took Ted Lasso and they kind of... they took the comedy away, so you can get to know him and the kind of mental health struggles and anxiety that he was going through. Mm-hmm. That took away from, I guess, what season 1 kind of laid heavy on, which was the comedy.
Yeah.
And I wasn't ready for that side of Ted yet. You know what I mean?
Right.
But then by the end, by no spoilers, but by that very last episode, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You have to fully get it.
I mean, because you go into a show like that and you're like, okay, well, what are we saying, right? Like, what are we saying in this show? And this was always part of the plan. And I'm with you where the show changed and they added a layer. And I was like, okay, well, it's this show now, right? It's not the other show anymore. It's this show now. Still the same character, still everything else. And then it just adds a sort of another layer. Like, I love his relationship with his doctor.
Oh my God.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
so
I think that the way that they handled everything with introducing his anxiety and the struggles that he has, and they sort of built out this relationship that he has with his doctor. Like, I think that now fits in perfectly in the Ted Lasso world, but it was, you were able to sort of, you know, add that layer to the show, which I think was really, really important, especially when doing a show that seems so frivolously about jokes and sports.
Yeah. Right? I'm glad that when they had the cast at the White House yesterday, that they didn't bring the guy that plays Nate.
Yeah, he got left out, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, Nate.
He should have got left out. Yo, Nate. That episode 1? Oh, my God. Just when I thought that Nate, like, they were going to change Nate's, like, kind of a little bit of his character. It's the same old bitch-ass name.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
On KISS 92.5.
KISS925.com.
Or download the KISS 92.5 app.